The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to my mom on my cell phone, driving down 322, and completely missed my exit. I was talking hands-free through my car's Bluetooth ability, and yet I still missed the exit that I needed to take, which meant I had to drive about 5 miles farther to turn around. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you've been sitting in front of a computer writing a paper for school, or maybe completing work for your employer or some sort of volunteer organization you're a part of, only to get distracted by the other windows that you have open in your computer. Maybe as you write, your email dings a notification that you have a new message about another class assignment or work project that needs your attention. And then a moment later, a Facebook notification pops up that a long-lost friend has commented on the cat video that you uploaded or posted onto Facebook. And you want to check out her LOL comment because, well, that's why you posted it in the first place. Then the phone rings with a call from a client or family member who has a very important question, followed by a text from your spouse or child telling you there is no more milk at home. And at the end of the day, you are exhausted and don't feel like you've accomplished a whole lot, but you're also patting yourself on the back because you are a multitasker who's been able once again to manage multiple things at once. Well, this is just the way today's life is. You think to yourself while you open your tablet to surf the web, choking down a microwave meal and with the television news blaring in the background. We like to think that our ability to multitask demonstrates that we're intelligent, that our brains are capable of handling a lot of input and sorting it all out. Employers will, often put down multitasker as a positive attribute for job applicants, and many people believe that juggling lots of mental tasks at once is, actually very good for the brain. I'll admit, I always thought it was good for my brain, that ability to juggle a variety of thoughts or tasks at the same moment, until I missed that exit. Then I wondered if I was trying to maybe do too much all at once. Is it so good for the brain that we multitask? Well, Sandra Bon Chapman, she is a director of the Center for Brain Health, and she doesn't think so. In fact, it's quite the opposite. She says multitasking is a brain drain that exhausts the mind, it zaps cognitive resources, and if left unchecked, condemns us to early mental decline and decreased sharpness. Chronic multitaskers, she says, also have increased levels of cortisol, the stress hormone which can damage the memory region of the brain. Well, it does appear that I may be the bearer of bad news today, especially for those of you who pride yourself on multitasking and juggling multiple tasks at the same time. It looks like our brains were designed to do one thing at a time. Now I've given you all an excuse, though, not to multitask, I suppose. What feels like multitasking is actually more like mentally switching from one thing to another, since it's impossible for us to do two things at once. This is why talking on the phone while driving is probably a bad idea. Your mental resources will be fully devoted only to one of those tasks at the expense of another, which is why you will blow past your exit or drive 20 miles without remembering how you got there. That frequent switching back and forth from task to task actually makes you less efficient, less focused, and less productive because you're only thinking about those things on the surface level. So what's the solution? Well, according to Dr. Chapman, it is to focus on one thing at a time. She calls that single tasking. And it's about getting things done sequentially, focusing completely on one task before moving to the next. When we are able to filter our thinking to focus only on what's important or most important at that moment, we can experience increased productivity and enhance our ability to think strategically. Our brains can become more efficient and our output of higher quality when we devote all of our mental resources to what really matters. If that's true of our brains, then the question is whether it's also true for our spiritual lives. After all, we believe that the whole person is connected, body, mind, and spirit, to God. But like the rest of our lives, we're often prone to spiritual multitasking, believing that busyness and more information are signs of spiritual maturity. Even churches tend to add more and more activities to the schedule, and while many devout people feel like they're failing spiritually if they're not involved in multiple programs of learning and mission, it's easy for us to become distracted, exhausted, and burned out trying to multitask great things for God. The Apostle Paul understood this, which is why he writes to young Timothy about staying focused on what really matters. If Timothy were a 21st century pastor, he might have received Paul's message on his smartphone while checking Twitter and sending a text to a parishioner at the same time. Paul understood what it was like, himself having been a multitasking Pharisee back in the day. But now the older apostle tells his young apprentice to get in the habit of simplifying his spiritual life so that he can be the best Christian leader he can be, one who presents himself to God as an approved worker, who has no need to be ashamed, and who rightly explains the word of truth. Paul encourages Timothy to focus on this one task because the gospel itself is a single tasking message. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. When Christians try to take the gospel and make it a multitasking to-do list of spiritual hoops to jump through, it really clouds the message. Paul argues this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then nothing matters. If he has been raised from the dead, however, then nothing else matters. Paul was willing to suffer hardship and being chained like a criminal for the sake of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, made possible because of Christ's death and resurrection. And so the life of a Christian is singularly focused on this truth. On the other hand, if we allow the distraction of multiple mixed messages to cloud our thinking and constantly switch our attention from, well, one theological fad to another, we are more likely to deny Jesus and become faithless. And that's as Paul says, we wind up wrangling over words and getting into theological and political arguments that feed our desire to have notifications pop up on social media rather than keeping us focused on the truth. Such distracting talk does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Well, Paul gives young Timothy some advice then on how to stay focused on the single task of proclaiming the gospel. He sounds a little like Dr. Chapman, and here is her best advice for getting your brain back in shape after being an exhausted multitasker. First of all, she says, give your brain some downtime. Step away from a challenging task periodically for a few minutes to give your brain room for the next inspired idea. Sometimes I will tell Mackenzie while she's on her computer in her room, I'll say, let's take a break. That's when we walk Bunny, our dog, right? Or we do something that doesn't require us to be in front of the computer. Dr. Chapman suggests focusing deeply without distraction. Now, this is hard, but she says turn off your phone. Shut down all those open windows on your computer and give your full attention to one task at a time. Work for shorter periods of intense focus, giving yourself a mental break in between. My husband Jim says this is much easier for men. He describes it as a filing cabinet. He says men only open one filing cabinet at a time. Women have all the filing cabinet drawers open all at once, right? Sort of like that. Or do you remember the, I don't think I read the book, but the cover, they talked about how women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles. You can kind of understand the difference just by thinking about the kind of food. Not to pick on one gender or the other. She says make a to-do list. This is one of my favorite things to do. Identify your top priorities for the day and then check those tasks off the list that you get done. Moving from one task to another in intentional sequence makes for better productivity. Now, Paul's list, on the other hand, focuses more on how to get your spirit back in shape after what might be a long time of dealing with spiritual distractions. And so Paul suggests this. He says to Timothy and us, present yourself to God as one approved by him. What he means is focus each day on pleasing God and seeking God's approval, and everything else falls into priority. Paul isn't talking about earning God's approval through works, but rather seeing our work as a response to what God has done for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we remember the core of the gospel at the start of every day and shape our thoughts and activities accordingly, we're more likely to remain focused on what really matters. Paul then says, be a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, and we shouldn't be either. It is the power of God for the salvation of the world. We might be tempted to think that the work of the gospel is something secondary, private, and less important than the other work that we do. In fact, we might see our spiritual lives as separate from the rest of our lives and act differently the rest of the week than we do on Sunday. Reminds me of what Sue said in the children's chat of how we're likely to keep chained here in the church our spiritual lives rather than bring that spiritual life into other areas of our lives throughout the week. Because the gospel, however, brings everything into alignment so that our lives are consistently focused on the way of Christ. And when we are focused on the gospel and living our lives in ways that please God, there will be no secrets. There will be no divisions of our focus and no cause for shame. Finally, Paul says, rightly explain and then represent the word of truth. To rightly explain means literally to cut straight to the truth of the gospel. And this is the antidote to the distraction of wrangling arguments and distractions that we will see the larger church involved in. We don't need to engage in the kind of constant trolling that characterizes social media and oftentimes public discourse these days. Instead, Paul is saying that we simply state what we believe, and perhaps even more importantly, we demonstrate how it works by living it out consistently from day to day, which means that then we can cut through all of the endless verbal junk that seems to confront us constantly and only engage in exchanges that accomplish God's purpose and please God in both their tone and their content. And of course, we also need some spiritual downtime to focus our attention on God without distraction. And we need to make pleasing God a priority on our to-do list every day. For some of us, we find mornings easier for this, and for others, evening is the best time of day. Single-tasking spirituality will lead us toward becoming healthier disciples of Jesus who are focused, effective, and productive for his kingdom. Two words begin and end the passage we read from Paul's letter to Timothy: remember and remind. Paul begins by encouraging Timothy to remember the life, death, and, well, resurrection of Jesus Christ, who descends from David. And he ends with the imperative that Timothy remind God's people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ that they have been given. Now, I don't think it's coincidence that Paul chose these two words. He knew then and now that God's people need to remember daily the gift of Jesus Christ that they receive through the waters of baptism. Our life and our days begin with the truth of the gospel. And so Paul compels us to orient our life around that unbroken promise of love and grace found in Jesus Christ. We are to remember our baptism each and every day. And as it is with human beings, there are most days in which we need reminded to present ourselves just as we are to the one who can handle the word of truth. Not distracted because we fill ourselves with tasks and activities that are only deemed worthy on earth, but unashamedly we focus on the one who gave us life first. The truth is, the Christian life can sometimes seem complicated and demanding, and yet the gospel is pretty simple. Jesus, in fact, loved to keep things simple. He took 613 commandments and concentrated them down into two. He gives his disciples a great commission, not a great to-do list. For believers, there does not need to be a multitude of tasks that must be accomplished all at once and at the same time. Love God. Love your neighbor. Be a good worker. Pretty much sums it up. Seems like we're the ones to make it more complicated. I think about the prophet Micah, who had similar advice. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. To God be the glory, power, and honor. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand and join with me in singing our hymn of praise, He is Lord.